Sawyer figured he looked more like a cop than at it. "Why would they be resentful?" Sawyer asked. "Doesn't a prison boost the economy?" Bear Flat never wanted a prison located here, or the crime that accompanies one. Atticus's mouth curved into a grim smile. The spotlight on the prison riot and breakout was very welcome. "I bet." The investigation had exposed a multiplicity of bribery and kickbacks, beginning with how the private prison company acquired the building permits to the maneuvering for a state prison contract when its federal contract fell through. The suppression of failed environmental studies had been the kicker. California was very into the environment, and when the state EPA had seen the studies, the prison had been shut down so fast the warden was still probably in shock. As of last Monday, Bear Flat no longer had a prison on the outskirts of town, and the citizens were damned happy. The locals also made it clear they wanted the prison riffraff to leave just as fast as the prison staff had. The noise in the tavern increased as three members of the tattooed, pierced, and over-muscled neo-Nazi Aryan Hammer sauntered through the room. When the townspeople's disapproval switched to them, the gangbanger sneered back and took a table in the far corner. Looking around, they spotted Sawyer and Atticus. Atticus noticed the waves of hate coming from the corner. Ah, hell. Looks like the morons finally figured out who stopped their buddies from escaping. Sawyer snorted. "I didn't stop them, bro, hard as I tried. I just got stabbed. You were the one who actually took them out." In the process of rescuing two kidnapped social workers, his brother had killed the leader of the imprisoned Aryan Hammers. "You killed one and flattened another. They won't forget it." Atticus's gaze turned serious. "It's barely been, what, 5 weeks since you were nearly gutted? I know the big bad SEAL could normally flatten a platoon of nasties, but right now, one punch to your gut and you'll be on the floor. Walk careful, Frogman." "Hoo-yah, Jarhead. Same goes for you and Spades. You're at the top of their shit list." At least as a cop, Atticus was packing. Yeah, that'll keep me up nights." At grinned and asked, "Want another beer?" "Nah." Sawyer hadn't had a night out since his hospital release or, come to think of it, since being imprisoned. He was tired, and all the animosity was getting to him. "I'm ready to call it a night."
"Sounds good. Oh, hey, where? Did you bring in the saddle you want me to repair?"
The shout came from an older, leathery-faced man at a nearby table. Atticus turned.
"I did. It's in the pickup. Want me to toss it in your van?" "Yeah, door's not locked. Lock it when you're done."
The man resumed his conversation with a short, round woman. "Leaving a vehicle unlocked is either trust or laziness," Sawyer said. "Actually, he probably doesn't want to leave his wife right now.
It's their 40th anniversary, and I'd say he's going to get lucky."
At chuckled.
"I hope Jen and I still look like that in 40 years.
Sawyer studied the silver-haired couple. Bottle of wine on the table, mostly gone. The woman was flushed and smiling, and her hand was on her husband's thigh, edging higher. The man laughed heartily before leaning forward to kiss her. Evidently, some relationships worked out.
"I'd say you and Jen have got good odds for success." "I'm going to do my best to ensure that."
At rose.
"Be back in a minute and we can head out. Jen's gathering should be finished by now."
Atticus's woman was the sociable sort and had some girl thing planned tonight, which was why the Ware brothers were in the claim jumper.
"Sounds good. I'll handle the bar tab."
Atticus had found himself a fine woman. Sawyer should know, since Jen had been his counselor in the prison for a while and had helped him forgive himself for his massive screw-up. Now he was out and needed to figure out what he wanted out of life. Sawyer frowned at his empty beer glass. At one time, he'd planned a military career, but being wounded and a nice case of PTSD had put the skids to those hopes. For too long after his discharge from the service, he'd been buried in hallucinations and nightmares. Although he'd worked through the PTSD while in prison, he'd also been forced to acknowledge, and mourn, that the path to his future had taken a sharp detour. He needed to find new goals. As soon as the stab wound in his gut healed, he'd give San Francisco a try.